Okay, we will take our Bibles and we're going to turn to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. Got all sorts of little things up here. Hopefully we can put it all together. Thank you very much for all that you've been doing for us. We've enjoyed the fellowship. Food was wonderful. And I hope it wasn't too good that everyone's going to fall asleep now during the preaching time. So let's, what a blessing though. Wasn't that good food? If you didn't find something there that you liked, you got to be real finicky. And don't forget, there's a couple things back there on the table that are for free. A little bookmark for everybody. Please take one. Seek the lost at any cost. That's the theme of the missions conference. And if you haven't gotten one of these yet, please get one. It's how to get involved in missions. We want you to not just close out the week and say, yeah, we had a good missions conference, but there's some practical things in here of what you can do to get more involved with missions. And I think it'll be a real help to you, and I hope that'll be something that you will grab off that table there. I'm a horrible salesman. There's books back there. If they can be a blessing, great. Maybe I'll say something about them tomorrow night. I haven't really gotten into that, but that's okay. We got more important things to do, like the Word of God. Amen? Well, praise the Lord for that presentation. It always, makes me want to get up and start talking about the mission field we were on and just show the need and stir people up. And then when I start doing that, I want to go back. And I got to be careful about that because God hasn't told me to go yet. Amen. We're in Mark chapter number 8. Going to read a couple verses. And really, hopefully this message comes out okay. This is a new one. I kind of based it off the theme. I was asking Pastor, do you have a theme that you want for your conference? And he said, seeking the lost at any cost. And I was like, okay, well, that'd be a good one. And I got to thinking about a couple different things, jotted a couple things down. And I hope it'll come out all right. And really, I just want to be a blessing. I want God's will to be done in this conference. And I know God's going to lead the pastor. And when God leads the pastor, I figure it's my job to come in here and get behind him and try to support what he's got going on. And I prayed about this, and I hope that this will be a help in some way. Seek the lost at any cost. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 34 and 35. We'll read two verses to begin with, and we'll be all over the Bible here a little bit here in just a little bit. Verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So here's some marks of a disciple. Here's some requirements. If you want to be a disciple, okay, whosoever will come after me, that's a follower. That's someone who's a disciple. He said, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be a disciple, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, salvation is free. We can go out and we can tell people the wonderful news and people want a little bit of fire insurance and they'll pray and they'll get saved and praise the Lord, they get saved. And I've seen so many people over the years, they're excited that they got saved and there's some change in their life and then they're confronted with something, some issue they got to deal with. I don't have time to get into all that. That's another sermon altogether. But they don't want to pay that price. They're not willing to count the cost. You see, salvation's free. Discipleship costs you something. It's going to cost you something to be a disciple. I'd like to get up here and tell you, hey, you surrender to go to the mission field, and everything's going to be yay, 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 happy, happy, happy. It's not always that way. We'll talk about that. In fact, if you've got one of those bookmarks, there's 3 points. I didn't put the fourth one on there. I didn't want to scare you away. We'll get to that in a moment. But no, let's look at that next verse. It says, for whosoever will save his life. So he's talking about discipleship. And then he says, for whoso, now, you might be sitting there saying, well, I'm glad I got saved. And I don't know if I want to pay that price. I don't know if I want to deny myself. We don't like to do that very much, do we? Sometimes we get to that supper table and, man, we don't want to deny ourselves. That's nothing compared to what we have to deny to serve the Lord. And take up a cross. Cross means pain. I don't know about you, but I like comfort. I don't like pain. I have pain. I experience lots of pain. Sometimes I am a pain. Don't ask my wife. She'd probably agree with that. Follow. I don't want to be told what to do. Do you? That's what it's going to cost to be a disciple. It's going to cost you something to serve God. So I'm not. This is not a sugarcoat message tonight. Verse number 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. She said, well, I don't want to count that cost. Well, then you're trying to save your life. And what did God say? What did Jesus say? You're going to lose it. And he says, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. I'm telling you what. There is a cost to pay to be a disciple, and it's actually, it's not always easy. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it costs you a lot. And we look around in this world that's filled with plenty, especially in America, right, brother? We look around, there's so much in America, and people get so much. Right? Belize. I've been down to Belize. I've been in Belize City. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, there's a great need all over. We've got it made here. So I'm going to give a couple things about, I'm going to answer the question, what will it cost? And then hopefully we'll have enough time to answer the question, what will it gain? But first I want to talk about what will it cost. First one, number one, it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you time if you want to seek the lost. Now, I've been trying to tie this together with foreign missions and home missions the whole time during the week. So if you're just here tonight and you haven't heard all the other messages, you just kind of put that all together. Foreign and home. I can't, for time's sake, draw them all together and preach each one each time through this now. But time, it's going to cost you time if you want to go out knocking on doors around here. It's going to cost you some time if you, as we mentioned, if you get involved in the bus ministry. It's going to cost you some time if you're going to go out to a nursing home and try to win those people and talk to them about Christ. And they're getting up there in years and they might not have much more time. It's going to cost us some time. It's going to cost you some time to leave America. Go to another field, another country. Talk to people about the Lord. Time with your family. Time with those loved ones. We were able to spend 10 years as missionaries to Zambia. My mom had a stroke. And she had a bleed and a brainstem, and shortly before we went back for another term, we were told that that could go any time, didn't know how long she'd live. We went back. We came back off the field. I think with about 2 years of coming off the field, my mom and her mom were diagnosed with dementia. They're both in nursing homes right now. We came back. We missed a lot of years with our moms. We're not going to get that back. It's going to cost some time. There's a cost to pay. But I praise God. I really do. Neither my mom or dad nor her mom or dad hounded us, wrote us, said, why don't you come home? We'd like you to be here. They were fully supportive of what we were doing. They didn't say, why are you taking those little grandkids away from us? But it cost. It's going to cost something. It's going to cost you time. Time, they say, is what? Life. You ever heard that statement before? Time is life. And really, your life is made up of time. To give some of your time is to give part of your life. So to give some of your time to winning souls in the States and the ministries of this local church is to give part of your life to it. Listen, Christ gave His life for us. Can we not give a little bit of our life back? But we use our time. In other words, we use our life to go make money, to have pleasure, to watch our sports, to fill it with entertainment. And we use our time for everything that revolves around me. And yet we are supposed to give our life for the Lord. And what was His burden and His passion? Why did He come? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And yet we're so concerned about our career. Amen. I know people got to get a job. They got to work. You got to pay the bills. I understand all that. Some people put too much emphasis on that. And not enough emphasis on what God wants them to do in reaching the lost. What do you give your time to? Making money, sports, entertainment, Facebook? I don't know how many people I've talked to. Man, I got to get off that Facebook. I just spend too much time on Facebook. It's always... What do you give your time to? Now, let's go back and substitute that word time for life here in verse 35. For whosoever will save his time shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his time for his time for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. Will you give a little bit of time for the Lord? How much time did you give Him last week? So I read my Bible a couple times. I'm not talking about that. You better be reading that thing every day. That's for you. That's not for Him. That's for you. To get the strength that you need to deny temptation, to have strength, to have comfort, to grow and to learn and to be able to resist temptation. That is for you. Talk about how much time did you give? Pass out a tract, to go knock on some doors, to make some visits, to do something, to help other people. It takes time to go. It takes time to pray. It really does. That brochure, how to get involved with missions, it's got a little section in there on how to pray. So I don't know, I can pray for the missions. You know what people do? They're having a little prayer time. And then they end it and say, Lord, and be with all the missionaries. Let me tell you something. If they're saved, He's already with them. So what did you accomplish with that prayer? Nothing. Be with all the missionaries. Really? All the Mormon missionaries? All the Jehovah's Witnesses missionaries? So I don't know what to pray. I put in here a few things that you could pray for. You can pray that they learn the language, pray for safety, health, encouragement. They get discouraged. Everything going against them. Raising their kids, it's not easy. When you're all, I could go on and on and on. Opportunities to witness, strong church family, stable national leadership, government officials, more laborers for those countries. There's a little write-up. This is just, get one of these, please. It's free. It takes time to pray. It takes work. Prayer's work. That's why we don't pray. Well, I don't get anything out of it. You start praying, you'll get something out of it. It takes time. What will it cost? Number one, it'll cost you time. Number two, it'll cost you talent. Cost you talent. You might have to give something up. Let me ask you a question. What are your goals in life? What are your desires, your dreams, your plans? What do you, and let me ask you another question. Are you willing to give them up? What's the dearest thing to you? And would you give it up to serve the Lord? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you might have heard his name before, said, "If God has fit you to be a missionary, I should not shrivel down to be a king." If God has fit you, equipped you, and called you to be a missionary, you'd be stepping down to become a king of a country. Why not do the best thing that God has for you? In Romans chapter 12, if you turn there, Romans chapter 12, familiar passage. Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 and 2. You say, "Well, I know that by heart." Well, let's look it through. Sometimes those ones we know by heart, we lose the meaning. Paul saying, "I beseech you, I'm begging you." He's writing to the Christians at Rome. These are people in the church there. I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God. That means you can't do it on your own. We touched on that last night. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I got that phrase under that line, living sacrifice. And above that I have written, alive but dead. Dead. I don't want to die. You got to die to yourself. You want to serve the Lord, you got to die yourself. I mean, we talked the other day, you know, about giving out a tract to that person you don't feel comfortable giving out a tract to. You got to die to yourself. What will they say? How will they react? We go through that. You know that. We got to die to ourselves. When God says, "I want you to be a missionary." Where? How long? What do I got to do? What do they have there? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. You know, if we gave our entire lives, like he says, present our bodies. Here it is, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want. If we did that, and we did the greatest sacrifice we can imagine, God would still say, "It's only your reasonable service. We haven't done anything, really." We should never go around patting ourselves on the back. "Hey, look what I'm giving up." Oh, no. And in verse number 2, "And be not conformed to this world." And that's the problem with so many. They are conformed to this world. And so they're not presenting their body as a living sacrifice. They're not willing to do what God wants them to do. He says, "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's by getting in the Scripture and letting God change your mind and change your life, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And sometimes what seems so frightening and so difficult and so hard and so unappealing is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. "I don't know if I could go do that." It's a great thing. Why not go do it? Problem is, we haven't cleaned our mind up. We haven't renewed our mind. We're so conformed to this world, we're not thinking straight. And when we get in the book and we let God work in our hearts and when we surrender things, we start thinking straight. Our wanter gets corrected. Amen? And then we start having the right desires. And then we start loving the things that God wants us to do. We known a man, a missionary, this was years back, missionary Bob Patton. Did you know him, brother? Missionary to Suriname. He lived in South Bend, Indiana. God spoke to him about becoming a missionary. He was a medical doctor. He had his own practice. And he sold his practice. And he moved to Suriname. He became a missionary. Why? He gave up the lucrative lifestyle. He gave up all of that, soulless, everything, just gone. You know, bye. Went to Suriname, worked church planning, did a little thing on the side like translating the Bible. And he reached many people. And he made a difference in that region. And those people wouldn't have been reached. And those people wouldn't have the Word of God to be able to open and read themselves. If he had said, well, I'm too old. I've got my education. I've started my family. I've got my medical practice. It's a little inconvenient. I will just take all the money, because I'm a doctor, that I'm all the extra money I'm making, and I'll give more to missions. It's not what God wanted. God wanted his talent. And not necessarily his talent in being a missionary, a medical doctor, his talent, his God-given gift. If you're still there in Romans chapter 12, drop down there and look there in verse number 3. It says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, that's talking about the local church, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So God gives every member a different gift. And if you're saved and you're a member of this church, you got a gift to use for the Lord in his service. Are you using the gift? Are you putting it into practice? God had given Dr. Bob Patton a gift, and he said, I'm going to take that gift, that spiritual gift. I'm going to Suriname, and I'm going to go do something with it. He took that spiritual talent and used it for God. He was doing it in his local church. He just got so excited, he figured go do it somewhere else too. Because God had led him. We've got to be willing to give up our plans and our dreams. I got right with God in 1986. My brother had been in the military. And I was a little bit interested in the military, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And he went to OCS. And I'm thinking, wow. What am I going to do with my life now? And I'm thinking, well, maybe I could go be a warrant officer. I'd like to fly one of those Black Hawk copters, you know. That was what I was thinking about. 1988, God called me to preach. There was no more thoughts about joining the military, no more thoughts about Black Hawk helicopter, nothing. It was just about what? I got something to do. I got something to do. I'm going to go do that. We need to be willing to give up our time, give up our talent, because God has plans for your life. You need to be willing to present that life of yours to the Lord. Number three, another thing it'll cost you is your treasure. If you would, turn with me back to the book of Mark. We're going to look in Mark chapter 10 this time. Mark chapter number 10. Give up your treasure. You say, ah, there you're going to go. Talk about that money. We'll talk about that a little bit. That's not the only thing that's a treasure to you. If that's the greatest treasure of yours, there's something wrong. But that is one of those treasures. In Mark chapter number 10, verses 29 and verse 30, Scripture says, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. There, verse 29, he talks about leaving your house. Houses in America can be pretty nice. Central air conditioning's quite convenient. Carpet, wall-to-wall carpet. Get that nice bed. You got the nice fancy refrigerator. You got all this stuff. It's not that way everywhere, is it? Oh, no. You leave your house in America, and you don't know what you're getting. Oh, man, the house that we lived in last, it was uninhabitable when we first got it. It was like, oh, my. Okay. Well, we got some work to do. I mean, the termites had taken over the house. What they hadn't taken care of, I mean, the rats had worked on some things. There were some owls up there in the attic. I mean, the place was a wreck. I mean, it was gross. It was beyond just nasty. The pipes were so bad. Everything had to be worked on. It took a lot of work. And when it was all finished, it was home. We liked it. It was nice. Still, nothing as comfortable as where we're living right now. It's okay. It was home. I couldn't give up. Why couldn't you give up some things? What did Christ give up for you? He left heaven. Heaven. We don't even understand heaven. And he came down here. Wow. Left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. Given up your homeland for my sake and the gospel's. Sometimes we're called upon to give up our family. What about your kids? You want one of your children to go to the mission field someday? Your attitude toward missions and toward the ministry and toward soul winning and towards the bus ministry and toward all those other things are going to determine their attitudes toward them too. I love that song, O Zion, haste. It says, give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. And all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. What a great hymn. It's a good hymn. We sing it. Sometimes we'll sing it at a missions conference. We don't believe it. We don't mean it. Money is important. We chase money. And our kids grow up, and you know what they chase? Same thing. We chase souls. You know what they might chase? They might start chasing souls. Oh, yes. Treasure. Give up your treasure. Are you willing to leave your family? I mentioned, we left our family. We need to be willing to give up our kids and let them go off to the mission field. Listen to this quote, and I'll tell you who said it. Must you go to, this was spoken to Hudson Taylor. Must you go to China? How much nicer it would be to stay here and serve the Lord at home. You know who spoke those words? The girl who became Hudson Taylor's ex-girlfriend. Let that sink in. Hudson Taylor's ready to, he's excited about China, and he's telling his girlfriend, and she's like, well, let's just stay here. He's like, okay, bye-bye. Because he had a calling on his life, and there's something that was more important to him. And any relationship that would pull us back ought to be reconsidered. Unless you're married. That's a decision for life, sorry. You can't renegotiate that one. Choose your partner, your spouse well. Amen. Oh, yeah, it's going to cost some things. It might cost some money. Matthew chapter number 6, if you get there. Matthew 6. Verse 19. So I've never heard these verses. Oh, yes, you have. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, he's not saying you should never save. There's other parts in the Bible that says you should save. He's not saying you shouldn't prepare for retirement. There's other parts in the Bible that talks about being prepared for the future. I'm talking about overabundance. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm convinced this man's treasure's in another country. And how I can figure that out? Kind of seems like that's where his heart is. I remember traveling deputation many times. When I was on deputation, it was the old slide thing, the little carousel. So often, going through those pictures. And it wasn't a show and it wasn't to get money. I'd just get choked up. Because I was there. I took those pictures. I saw those people. I wanted to get there. God got us there. We're a full-time deputation, 1 year and 4 months. We went. It wasn't me. I wanted to get to the field. And by the way, there's a boy named Loy. If we hadn't got to the field when we did, he died. Shortly before he died, my wife was out visiting, came up to my wife and said, Ibaibele, Ibaibele. He wanted her and the other lady that she was visiting with to go to his house and teach him the Bible. They went through the plan of salvation or trusted Christ as a Savior. He got baptized, but it was a couple months after this that he came into town. They said, Loy's got a headache. He's at home. And he went to the clinic. It was cerebral malaria, come to find out, and in a day or two he was dead. What if we hadn't raised our support? What if we hadn't gone? What if some people in the churches like this hadn't given us what we needed to get to the field? He's not the only one. He's in heaven. Some people here in the States gave some money so we could go do what we were supposed to do. That's what missions is about. I'm just going to keep moving. Let me give you number 4. That's not on your bookmark. You can go back with me to Mark chapter 10. Time, talent, treasure. This is what's going to cost you. Number 4. If you look with me there in verse number 30. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. What's those next 2 words? With persecutions. Let me give you number 4. Trouble. You serve God, you know what you're going to have? Trouble. Devil doesn't want you to serve God. You understand, when a missionary goes to the foreign field, he is invading Satan's stronghold. And he is not happy. And he will do what he can to oppose that missionary and that missionary family and to discourage that wife. When the husband thinks it's cute that the kids found some long, you know, millipedes and said, hey, grab that and bring it into mom, into the house. And you didn't realize your wife was really having a hard time that day dealing with everything being another culture and about put her over the edge. And she never told me about it till much, much later. Snakes? Oh, yeah. 82 of them we killed in our yard in the last place we lived. 3 different kinds of spitting cobras. Other kinds, some I don't even know what they were. I learned one thing. My favorite kind of snake is a dead one. When your kids, you let your kids go outside to play. I'm not going to hold them inside. But every time I walked outside, my eyes are scanning the yard. I'm not kidding you. That's just what you do. I'm scanning. My son one day, he's running home from the classroom, which is across the way from the house in a little storage shed we converted into a classroom. He was running back, and he stepped on a little baby puff adder. Puff adder is kind of like a rattlesnake on steroids. Pretty dangerous. We were out playing one day, had a little slingshot, one of those wrist rockets and some white marbles. You know, you can't really get those over there, so we had it sent over, and we're playing with that. So you don't want to lose your marbles. Sorry. Literally, you don't want to lose your marbles. So my son was running to go fetch a marble, and he's running, and I see him jump up, and he's turning around in the midair, and he's saying, Dad, snake. And he's running, and a spitting cobra raised up and fanned out as he's jumping over him. It's just what you do. It's just what you do. Satan's going to attack. We've been robbed. We've had car accidents. My wife and girls went off the road and should have been wiped out. We had a severe car accident. She broke her neck, her wrist in 4 places. I have had a severe head injury. Tell everybody I got drain damage. Kids were in the back seat. No seat belts. Walked away, no problems. There's a God. You're going to have trouble, but you'll see God in the trouble. Threats from the government officials pulled in and said, I caught them. Anyway, well, I don't have time to all the stories. They were corrupt and they were taking the land that was allotted for our church. And it was a large portion of land and all sorts of government officials, not just the local ones, but the big ones and people in the capital city in Lusaka and a lot of people. And I found out what was going on and it was corrupt. And I sent out a letter to the Anti-Corruption Commission and I detailed what was going on and I CC'd so many big shots. And then I was pulled in after one of our local government had met with one of the members from the office of the president, and they got together and they said, read this letter that you sent. I'm reading the letter. I was trying to read it nicely, but it wasn't written nicely. And they said, if this was any other country, you'd be gone by now. I knew what that meant. Now you're going to write another letter, and you're going to CC all those other people, and you're going to say, we're not corrupt, and we didn't do that. I said, I can't do that. I knew what that meant. Any other country, you'd be gone now, by now, so you write this other letter. In other words, you don't write the other letter. Figure it out, right? Sickness. Lots of sickness. Tick bite fever, dysentery, malaria. My son had some really strange stuff. Really strange stuff. We had to fly him down to South Africa. One time, one of the best men in our church,
retired major from the Zambian Army, Major Mark Matabele, wonderful man, passed away. During that time, I met with the family, and there were some things said. We were falsely accused of something. I didn't know at the time. My son had gotten sick. I was really bad sick also, and we went down to South Africa. I'm in trouble. He's in trouble. I don't know what's going to go on. I get a phone call and say, this is the Zambian police, and we have a call out for you, kind of like a subpoena. You've got to come down to the station by such and such a day. And if you don't show up, you go to jail. I said, I'm in South Africa. No, you're not. I said, yes, I am. No, you're not. We checked the airport. Yes, I am. I realize I'm not going to make it. I'm going to go back. And they're going to arrest me because I didn't go where I was supposed to go when I was supposed to go. And I can't do anything. My son's sick. I'm sick. I have my family's back in Zambia. What am I supposed to do? All I'm trying to say, and I could go on and on and on. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles. Satan's going to attack. So what do? Serve God. I'm not going to sit up here and say, if you go to the mission field, you're not going to have any problems. But like I said before, that was the hardest time in our life. It was the best time of our life. We saw God do so many things. We saw God intervene. We saw God people getting saved. We saw lives changed. John Patton, missionary, days go by, he said, I had my nearest and most intimate glimpses of the presence of my Lord in those dread moments when musket, club, or spear was being leveled at my life. You hear about rough stories, bad, hard times a missionary is going through. Don't feel bad for him. Pray for him. Probably going to feel bad for you that you don't get to experience the blessings that they do. I don't have time to finish all this, but those are some of the things that it'll cost you. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you talent. It'll cost you treasure. It'll cost you some trouble, but what will it gain? It'll gain you some souls. Told you some. I got sick within about 6 months of being on the mission field. Debilitating sick. I won't get into all of it. I still struggle. I was told it wasn't wise to go back for the second term. And we did. And I was told it wasn't wise to go back for a short third term. And it was a short third term, but we did. And Joseph didn't think it was unwise. He was a crippled man. We met him. He was had a little homemade cart and pedaled it with his hands. Came to church. Got saved one day when we went to his home. He died a couple years ago. He's pretty happy we came back. Anton, he had a stroke. He had cerebral malaria. He was a young man in his 30s, had a stroke. It was in a pouring rainstorm. Me and my soul-winning partner, he really pushed to find this house. We didn't even know where he lived. We're running around. We finally found the house. We got in the home, small little home, grass-thatched roof with a tarp over it because it was leaking, and even the tarp was leaking, and the wife was putting a little pot under the drips. We're sitting in there. It's small. They had a little couch, but, that's about all that fit in this little room there. And he gets off the couch so we can say, no, you sit on the couch. He's a stroke victim. He couldn't walk. We got got to lead him and his wife to the Lord. He got mustered up his strength. He came out for Christmas Sunday. He was so happy to be in church. A few weeks later, he died. Pretty happy we went back for the second and third term. What will it gain? It gains souls. What will it gain? Rewards in this life. 1 Thessalonians, let me just give them quick, and I don't have time to elaborate on 1 Thessalonians 1:6. I'll tell you what it'll gain you. It'll gain you some joy. Look at this for a verse. It says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." And the next word is with joy of the Holy Ghost. They had much affliction, but they had what? Joy. There's a lot of people who have no problems in this life. They got all the money, they got all the houses, they got all the possessions, and they have no joy. So I don't want any problems. You go serve the Lord, and when the Lord is with you, and you're going through problems for His sake, you can have joy. Paul talked about that. You don't have to turn there. You won't get there fast enough. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 24, he says, "But none of these things move me," talking about dying. He says, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." We will have joy when we finish our course, the course that God has laid out for us. When we choose our own course and do our own thing, we're not going to be happy. Give your life to God. Lord, here am I. Send me. There's a need for more missionaries in Asia. Everywhere I go, missionaries say, "We need more help. We need more help. We need more help." Need more help in beams, getting more word, the word out. Need more help with the military ministry? Are all the soldiers saved yet? You know that. Nope. Africa. Zambia. Remember being out in the street in Monzi one time. We're just handing out tracts, talking to people about the Lord. There's a guy riding his bicycle. We held our track. He stopped, took the track. He had ridden 3 hours to come to town to sell his wares, get some stuff, and go back to his village. And he said, "We need a church in our village." When can you send someone out there? I didn't even know where his village was. Over and help us. Can't. No Walmart. Come over and help us. They don't have pillow top beds over there. Come over and help us. You got disease over there. I might get it. Come over and help us. Peace. Jesus said, "In this world, you're going to have tribulation, right?" He said, "But I'll leave you with peace." And of course, there's rewards in the next life. We read that in Mark 10, and there's so many other passages, and I don't even have time to get to them. Paul said, "I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me what? Crown of righteousness." He says, "I got some rewards in heaven." Why? I did what God wanted me to do. I finished. Have you found out what God wants you to do? And are you going to finish it? It's going to cost you something. Will you pay the price? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you for being patient. It's going to cost you something. Do you want to pay the price? I don't want to pay that price. You're going to seek to save your own life. You're going to lose it. You may as well just pay the price and have that joy, have that peace, have some eternal rewards, have some fruit. God's way is always best. Father, I pray you'll work in our invitation. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, eyes closed. Don't even wait for the music. If God has spoken, just come. Stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You're standing. Start moving if you need to come and talk to the Lord.